Welcome to the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica Coulthard, your host. And each week I chat with amazing entrepreneurs to share what they've done to ignite their business so that you can ignite yours. Hey, it's Jessica, your host. What if I could tell you why you do everything you do? Would you believe me? Well, I think you should, because I have this incredible assessment that I do for my clients. And for all of my listeners, I'm offering it for free. If you want to send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com, I will hook you up. I will tell you why you do everything you do. I will tell you what your personal driving force, your North Star, the reason you do everything you do, why you make every decision you make. You're going to look back over your life and you'll be able to connect all sorts of dots that you didn't see before. It will blow your mind, I promise. I've been doing this assessment with my clients for the last 4 years. Wow, you nailed me. And the beautiful part is that it's not just about knowing this. It's about I actually will show you how to use it. I will show you how to use it to fix relationships. I'm also going to show you how to get rid of bad habits. We're going to dial this in so easily that this will be a no-brainer. You're going to be like, wow, why didn't I know this before? Why don't they teach this in schools? I'm going to show you how to change any area of your life by stepping back, taking the emotion out, throwing in a little logic, and you're going to be able to brainstorm ideas that you never even saw before. That is the power of this assessment. So send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com and I'll hook you up. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today, I have with me Amr Salim, the internet guy. Amr, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Jessica, for having me.
I'm excited because today we're going to talk all about websites. And I think this is one that I think it's really important. I think people underutilize their websites. They think of it as just kind of a landing page to send people to. But I think, you know, from the conversation you and I had leading up to this, I think today we're going to blow the roof off of that. So can you please tell everybody who you are and what you do?
So, hey guys, I'm Amr. My nickname is the Internet Guy, obviously, because my first name is hard to pronounce. I've been building, fixing, maintaining websites since 2000. So that's 21 years now. It feels like I just started yesterday. And when I was working for large corporations, I've always built something on the side. So, you know, maybe my own website. So at the time when this wasn't my business, it is now, but when it wasn't, I would just build my own websites and just keep learning new technologies so that I know what's going on in the industry and get my hands dirty. Because the best way to actually learn something is to learn by doing. Mm-hmm. My company is called Human Talents Tech. It's based here in British Columbia in Port Moody. And it's been on from 2016. So I left the corporate world and I'm solo now.
Cool. How long ago did you leave the corporate world?
2016. So my last job was in a software company.
Oh, okay. So now you told me a little bit of your story before. So can you just back it up a little bit and just share kind of how you came to be the internet guy? Yeah.
When I was younger, I'm not too old, guys, but when I was younger, somewhere around, let's back it up to 1996 when I bought my first Windows computer. So this was Windows 95, like the first time Windows had something with good graphical interface as opposed to that black screen with white text on it. And there was the concept of the modem that made noise. So if you're pretty young, like you wouldn't know what the heck I'm talking about. but we used to connect to the internet using something called the modem that is connected to the telephone line that made a lot of noise.
So it took a while.
And it was very slow.
Yes.
So, you know, if you were in the corporate world in around the early 90s, the best way to communicate between companies or if you have clients or whatever, you'd either pick up the phone and call them, and there was no mobile phone, so they have to be sitting at their desk, or you leave a voicemail, like, you know, of course, or send a fax. And, you know, these machines, you can still find them in some places. The government loves faxes. And but it involved paper. And after I bought my first computer and it came with the modem and I had my first internet connection and somebody told me about email, I was blown away. Like, what? Email? What is that? Are you telling me I'm sitting here and I'm sending a message to somebody halfway across the world? There's no paper involved and they'll get it instantly? You must be crazy. So I thought, like, this is, you know, like, it's beyond comprehension. I don't know how it works. And, you know, from a very young age, like, I was the kind of boy who would take things apart just to learn how they work. And 9 times out of 10, I'm unable to put them back the way they were. But
that may not be the best advertising, but
but then I don't know. I've done the washing machine and luckily I didn't break it. So my dad didn't punish me. But there were like some failures as well. Like the blender, I didn't do a very good job. But like this was me, like, the, you know, inquisitive. I want to know how things work. So I got fascinated and I wanted to learn how the internet worked. And at the time, you know, we didn't have online training. So you have to go somewhere. You have to go to a technology institute, you know, to learn how things work. And you have to buy books. And then when you're done with the course, you go and take an exam and it's either a pass or fail. So I looked around for a specific course because everybody at that time, you're talking about, you know, 99, 2000, more or less, everyone wanted to do Microsoft certification, you know, Microsoft being the most famous software company and everyone wants to be a Microsoft engineer. But I didn't find anything in the Microsoft curriculum that's focused on the internet. It was all about, you know, the operating systems and maybe a little bit of networking, but not necessarily the internet. Until I found my course, it was called Certified Internet Webmaster, CIW. Still exists, by the way. They're still giving their certifications. And I started to learn how it works, like all the ins and outs. And, you know, at times I thought that was too hard. At times I thought it was boring. But I persevered and I got through. And then at the time, 2001, I believe, after I got my certifications and everything, I was still working for the airlines. I used to work for British Airways. I was cabin crew, which here I think is called flight attendant. And I did a little bit of training as well. So like I used to facilitate some courses too every now and then, but the majority of the time I'm just flying, jetting across continents. And then the moment I got my certification, I got my first job outside of the airline. It was as easy as that because nobody at that time in my area of the world, we were just two people who are certified. The guy who trained me and me.
Wow. So,
yeah, that was it. 22 countries, two people. So if anyone within the 22 countries wants someone to teach internet, they would just get me or him.
How to, you know, dominate your market.
Just be the first mover. Yeah, it was good because, you know, the bubble was bursting and a new way of thinking was coming out because, you know, 99, think about 98, 99, 2000, everyone wanted a piece of technology, but they didn't necessarily understand how things were working. So there was a little bit of chaos. And then 2001, 2002, like New World Order with Amazon becoming Amazon. You know, people were laughing, Jeff Bezos, you know, thinking he's never going to make it. He's not making enough money. He's got crazy ideas, whatever. And everyone thought, like, how can Amazon have a very high turnover, but no profits? Well, guys, it was because he was investing the profit back in the company. It was making money. He wasn't drawing money. That's the only difference.
Yeah. You know, I've seen, he's got this awesome picture that he took of himself on this little fold-out desk, and it's the beginning of Amazon. And I love it. I love seeing where people start out.
Yeah.
Right? It's very inspiring. Yeah.
So yeah, there's nothing to be ashamed of. If you believe in what you do, you know, and I don't want to say cliches, like if you love your work, you're not going to work a day in your life. That's a very, like, you know, very cliche. But the truth in that message is that you got to get into something because you like doing it, because you feel you can add value, you know, you can do it your own way. Like even when there's like, okay, being a web designer, web developer, the thousands, if not millions of people doing it in the world, but that didn't stop me and it shouldn't stop anyone because there's a little bit of you into it. You add your own flair, you add your own, you know, secret ingredient.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say actually earlier when you were kind of talking about Bezos is, you know, one of the other things that I find for me is we have to shut out other people's opinions too, right? Is if you've got that dream and you're determined and you've made the decision and you're going to go for it, we have to learn how to shut out other people's voices, right?
Of course.
Because people, I mean, they bless their little hearts, but you know, they want to keep us safe. And if they think we're crazy, they're going to try to protect us. But unfortunately, it can hold us back as well. So,
and every entrepreneur will tell you, you fail like a few times before you succeed. So, you know,
oh, yeah,
here it is. I mean, I don't want to speak about failure on this specific episode, but yeah, I have a funny story that you probably didn't hear.
Okay.
I failed to fail.
Okay.
So when I was a young teen, just getting to university, I wanted to study tourism and my dad wanted me to study business. And there was a big fight. I want tourism, he wants business. And the only way I could study tourism was to go and travel in another city because this is where the college was. And he said, you know what? You're on your own. I'm not going to pay for that. I'm not going to support you to go move to another city. You have to stay here and study business. So being an angry teenager, I've decided I'm going to fail. So for the whole of year one in university, I didn't do anything. I didn't attend classes. I did absolutely nothing. Fast forward to the exam time. So I'm from Egypt, for those of you originally from Egypt. So a Canadian Egyptian. So the way university goes in Egypt is that you don't get graded on your work during the year. You get graded solely on the final exams. And they give you something like 3 weeks. So for 3 weeks, you're taking your exams. You have one test and then you have 2 days off or something. And then you have the next test. So fast forward to the exam time. All my friends are busy because all the universities have their exams at this time. There's nothing for me to do. There's nothing for me to waste time. There was no social media, of course. No technology, nothing. Like even the TV was so boring. So I ended up studying for the exams for the couple of nights before each exam because there's nothing else to do. So I was forced to study, right? Then to my biggest surprise, I succeeded. I was like, what? Defies the purpose.
That's awesome.
But then I realized, you know what? If you didn't do much and you could succeed, I mean, I barely made it. I just passed, like I think the passing score was 50 out of 100. I got 51. But it was a pass, right? So I thought to myself, you know what? Stay here because like what happens when you actually want to succeed? Like if you didn't want to succeed and you did, you know what I mean? Like, so with a little bit of work and a little bit more effort, where are you going to be?
What a great lesson, actually.
Yeah, but it's so funny. Like I failed to fail.
I love it. It's like your best effort still didn't pay off to fail.
Yeah, maybe great. I didn't set my mind to it.
Or maybe you were absorbing more than you realized and you just, you know,
yeah, I don't know. If I was doing it just to spite, God bless his soul. I mean, he's no longer with us, but he didn't know that. I never came clean, by the way.
Probably best.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into, let's talk about websites because this really interests me. I've had my website up now for, I want to say probably 5 years, 5 years, I guess.
Good.
And I've had it tweaked a couple of times, but I personally, I don't do much with my website. So, you know, let's talk more about what I should be doing with it or what everybody should be doing with their website.
Perfect. So yeah, I mean, this is a great segue because I see a lot of business owners who either not sure where to start. Like once you know, if you're doing any kind of entrepreneurship course or a business course, a website is going to come into play at some point. Could be module 3, module 4, but you always have a module about building your website and having your social media presence and the whole thing. But truth of the matter is many people are focusing a lot on social media, which is not bad. It works, right? But what you shouldn't be doing is to neglect your website in favor of social media. So famous example, Donald J. Trump. Love mm-hmm. him or hate him. We're not talking about if he's good or bad. Some people like him, some people don't. That's not the issue. The issue is Twitter, if Twitter can ban someone with 8 million followers from their platform overnight, it tells you that like how much power these social media platforms hold, right? If you're doing all your marketing on Instagram and life is great, and then suddenly Facebook and Instagram decide you've done something that you're not even aware of that violates some rule, they can suspend your account. There's nothing you can do. And it's very, very hard to get to speak with a human being. Mm-hmm. Like you'd be sending emails and doing online chats and whatever, and it will take a few days for them to actually figure out whether they're wrong or they're right. So I've had some posts on Facebook not appear, and I get a message saying it violates something, right? I go and read and reread the post, and there's absolutely nothing in it. Absolutely nothing. And then 3-4 days on their own, they decide, yeah, you know, it's good. It's nothing. And they post it.
I know people that have gotten put in Facebook jail. And no, they've exceeded their limit for messaging people or
yeah.
whatever it is. And then that's it. Like for the next week, they're like shut right down. So if you're running a business and you rely on social media to maintain that business and you get put into social media jail, you know, that can be fairly damaging.
And it's you know, it. I don't want to scare people, but it's not far-fetched. If it happens to others, and it happens to people with so many followers and so many, you know, not just followers, but what I meant is not just so many, but like prominent figures on social media mm-hmm. at one time or another had a problem with the platform. So you shouldn't be building your business on somebody else's platform. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for people who are using Wix and Squarespace. And even Shopify, that's a full platform. You have zero control over the platform. You can use it, but at least have your own prime real estate somewhere where you control, which is your website, your own website that's built on the hosting account that you own or you like pay for. So it's not somebody else's network. It's somewhere there where you have full control. And if you don't like your hosting company, guess what? Hosting is cheap. Move. Mm-hmm. Take your website with you and move. It's so easy. You can't, if it's in WordPress and it's on any kind of shared hosting and you don't like your hosting, they're slowing you down or you have a problem with them or they banned you or whatever. If you do have a backup of your website, you can simply move hosting in a matter of a couple of hours and you're up and running again, right? You have no limit. No one can limit you. That's the thing. So between social media and the website, what I'm going to say is, okay, if you're going to post stuff, for example, your own like blog posts or your own, you know, sometimes offers or products or whatever you do, images of, you know, what you're doing, videos, right? Have them on your website first, then share it on social media. So you get the best of both worlds. If for any reason you're limited by an external factor that you have no control of, whatever is on your website is still there and running.
No, I think that's really great. And actually, since you and I spoke, I don't know, a week ago, getting ready for this interview, I have been starting to think about, like, I need to get back to blogging again. Somebody that I just recently gotten to know and is also a guest on this show, I was noticing that that's exactly what he does. Like, he's very prominent on LinkedIn, but everything that he posts on LinkedIn is an article from his website.
Yeah. And it actually, you know, it makes Google love you more because mm-hmm. it sees that there's activity that's going on. So this is the other part. And, you know, I don't speak about SEO a lot because there are so many others who are better than me in that domain. But generally speaking, you know, let's give you like a funny example. A pizza restaurant, for example. If you have two pizza restaurants in the same area, one of them blogs, the other one doesn't. The one that blogs is going to get loved more by Google and found more by people who are searching for pizza in that specific area just by continuing to blog. Now, The question is, how can I blog about pizza? What am I going to do? And are people interested to read about pizza? Okay, maybe they're not interested to read, you know, about pizza as per se, but if you put a recipe, maybe not necessarily your own recipe, like you don't want to give away your trade secrets, but like a recipe, or if you have the story of your pizza. In my area here in Port Moody, there is a pizzeria called Spacca Napoli. And pre-COVID, when we used to have those big menus, the story was on the first page of the menu. And I like, you know, I like the fact that they tell me how they brought their clay oven from Italy. I have no clue why they couldn't build it in Port Moody. But yeah, they brought their oven from Italy. And that's the thing. That would be quite, I haven't spoken with the owners. I was just a customer, right? But imagine if they have this. I'm not sure if they do. Imagine if they have the story on their website.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then they have something, like not necessarily, you know, offers, but something interesting to read, something to download. Maybe, I don't know. Is there a healthy pizza?
What do you mean? Pizza's not healthy?
I have no clue.
You're bursting my bubble.
I don't really care whether it's healthy or not, but I wanted to give an example is to like guess and you know, not guess, sorry, but like research what the interests of the community around you are, mm-hmm. and how you can connect your business to their interests in a logical and natural way, not inject yourself in it.
So question, if I was to blog on my website and nobody read it, does Google still like it?
Yes, of course.
So there you go. The guy could just be writing about pizza all day long and nobody even read it, and he'd still be ranking higher, right?
Of course. Because there's activity. Google sends the search bot, the Google bot indexing. I don't know. You call it search or indexing or whatever. It's a bot. Generally speaking, when you have a brand new website, the bot comes quite often. So maybe twice a week or something. But if it finds no update whatsoever on the website, it will start coming once a week. If there's no update, it will come once a month. If there's no update, it's probably twice a year.
You got to feed the bot.
Got to feed the bot. But having said that, when you write for the human, not for Google. So write something that you know somebody will enjoy. Might not be 10,000 people, but if two people enjoyed it, your job is done, because two people enjoyed it and Google found it. So, you know, mm-hmm. you're a winner. Okay.
I like it. No, and seriously, like I love to create content. I love it. I love writing. I love finding pictures. I love creating. And I usually just do it in my Facebook groups. But like I said, after you and I talked, it's like, why am I not putting this on my Facebook or my website? Like, I don't even know why. I couldn't even come up with a good answer.
And it draws traffic from Facebook to your site.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want, unless you're ashamed of your site. I know you personally are not, but some people are.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was, I used to be, but I'm not anymore.
And yeah, this is for the entrepreneur out there who insists on doing it on their own. There's no shame. If you do it on your own, it's great and you'll learn along the way. Just decide before you get into it two things. Number one, how much time are you willing to spend? Because, you know, I spoke to some people and they've done like 100 hours to build one website. And that's a lot of time. Like if your hour is worth, I don't know, $100, is $10,000 website.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because if you think about it, you know, if somebody is running their business and their business is getting clients, getting customers, and now you take those 100 hours away from that,
Not only is it costing you time, it's a loss.
Exactly.
It's a loss.
Yeah. It's way more than the $10,000 because you're actually not bringing in any money either.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're learning it because you want to offer it as a service, so you're going to become a web designer, yes, indeed. That's fine. It becomes an investment. You're investing time. But if you're doing it to save, you know, the $2,000 or $3,000, think about how much time you want to invest in it. And is it worth the $2,000 or the $3,000 or whatever it is, like whatever quotation you got.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to you at the end. But please, whatever you do, don't build it on a network that you do not own. I understand the ease of use that comes with something like Wix and Squarespace and Shopify as well. But Shopify is a little different because it's e-commerce and there are pros and cons and everything. But like predominantly Wix, Squarespace and the likes, you don't have control not only whether, you know, you have control when things go bad or not, but also if for any reason your website, let's say, is running slower than what you like, or it's too slow, you're losing customers, they're not waiting for it to load. There's nothing you can do to speed it up. Nothing. You don't have any control over the speed, right? If it's on your own hosting, you can change the hosting. You can get a better one. You can get a faster one, a bigger one with more resources. You could employ a professional to actually optimize your web page loading speed if it's on WordPress, for example, right? So you've got options. At least you can get something done instead of just being stuck there like, hey, you know, I don't like it, but I have no option. I spent so much time and effort doing it on Wix and I don't want to redo everything again. So I'm just going to leave it.
Mm-hmm. And I think Wix is probably not as, what's the right word? Like, I know with WordPress, there's so many plugins, like there's so much adaptability. I don't know if Wix has those kind of options, if you're sort of stuck with their little package and that's all the options they have.
They have the concept of plugins. They build more features on their own, you know, platform.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting better. Again, like I'm not against them. I'm just trying to shed the light so that people think long term. Because what usually happens, people sign up because they want to get something done right now. Like, you know, and I don't have time to learn something and I don't want to spend hours learning. So I'm going to go there. It's a template based. I'm just going to select, you know, something that looks good, put a photo there and a little bit of text and call it a day.
Right.
Nice when you're just starting a business that and no one knows about you. You haven't yet like marketed yourself or, you know what I mean? You just want something up and running so that when you go to a networking or a meeting, there is a website, any kind of website, right? But as you grow and your business grows, you start realizing, oh, hang on a second. If I want to sell anything online and I want people to be able to come to my website to pay, I have to go to Wix and buy something additional, like maybe upgrade or whatever so that I can get the payment gateway. Next one, oh, I want to link my website to something like MailChimp, okay? They probably have MailChimp, but let's say you're using something else that is a little bit less known than MailChimp. They probably don't have a connector for it. So things like that, speed mm-hmm. optimization, like there's a lot that goes on in the back end of a website that people don't see. And then soon enough, you realize like, you know what? I'm kind of a hostage because I don't have any control here. Wix control the whole thing.
Now, what's your thoughts on the, like buying domains? Like when I first set up my website, the gentleman that I took a course and I was learning through them, and they said that you should always try to get the .com. Do you have any?
I like the .coms better in general. I think it's just a preference.
Mm.
But I'm not one of those people who would tell entrepreneurs, go and buy, like, let's say if your business name is, yours is what? Just a little like, just the girl like me coaching. Sorry, little?
What yes.
is little for? Just the girl like me coaching.
Yes.
Right? So I'm not going to tell you buy the .com and the .net and the .info and the .whatever and you end up having 50 domains
right.
that you're paying for every year and that you're not using. And this was an idea like 10 years ago, like is to prevent somebody from buying. If you have the .com and then they buy the .net and that creates a confusion and your clients wouldn't know where to go. And it's not a thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that fashionable to do anymore.
Yeah. No, and I didn't do that. But what happened was when I was first naming my company, which is not the name that I ended up with, but I couldn't get the .com. So I bought the .net and,
yeah.
the gentleman said, you know, if you're thinking your business long term, people automatically default to, I'm going to look her up, .com. And so that was his rationale behind it is, you know, so I ended up changing the name of my company, which I'm really happy with. I love the name of my company.
Oh, so that you have a new domain that was available as a .com.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm .ca, right? So it's not a .com.
Okay.
It's humanchallenge.ca, so.
Yeah. No, and I'm just curious, right, like what your thoughts on it were. And I would have bought the .ca as well, but I was listening. I had blinders on, right? Like I was so new and I was just like, okay, anything you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, right?
I have to say there's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
It has to be a name that you identify with. Like the name of my company, it's even doesn't really tell you what it does. But that's another story because when I started, I was about to sell HR software. So it was called Human Talents because there was recruitment software, HR software that used to do employee assessments and like the annual, you know, don't know what you call them now, like the annual thing, the things that you do once or twice a year, the performance reviews, I think they're called. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell like I'm out of that industry already.
Yeah, you're not an employee anymore. You've lost that mindset.
Yeah, but like it's Human Talents Tech because it was like supposedly a software company. Right. I'm still in tech, so you know, websites and you know, fixing people's emails and anything related to their online to the online part of their business still falls under tech. It's just not called web design company or agency. It's just called Human Talents.
Right. Okay. So I wanted to also talk to you about, so you were talking this about like your hosting being really important and you referred to it as like the foundation of your website, right? And then you talk about the framework and then the design.
I always say it's like building a house.
Right.
So building a website is like building a house. And the issue that most people have when they end up with a website that doesn't work, when I say it doesn't work, doesn't necessarily mean that it's looking bad. It could look great, right? Doesn't work means not converting. So maybe you're not getting any return on your investment. Your investment might have been your time if you've built it on your own. And, you know, you don't see people are not filling the forms on your website. So you don't get referrals or like, you know, anyone asking questions. Maybe if you have a downloadable or a booking link for them to book a call with you and you don't get much success. So it's not, that means the site itself is not working. It's not converting. And maybe if you look at the analytics, you see that there's a lot of traffic coming, but almost all of it is bouncing off. So you get like, I don't know, 100 visitors or 1,000 visitors a day, but 999 leave your website within 10 seconds. That's a bounce. Mm-hmm. So it means something there is not compelling the visitor to take action. Whatever that action is, it means the website doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. And the problem is that people do it back to front. Like you should first think about if you're building a house or if you're fixing a house, let's say you have a house that has a huge water leak. Are you going to go and bring the interior designer first or the plumber first? So you're not going to go and worry about the color of paint and you know, the backsplash of your kitchen before you fix the leak. So naturally, same thing with the website. First is foundation. Foundation comes from your hosting. So, you know, if you decide, for example, I always talk about WordPress because it's kind of like the most famous now, but you can still build a website by pure code, like, you know, HTML or whatever. But that is a possibility. People are not, or not many people are doing it anymore, but you can still build websites in different ways. It doesn't have to be WordPress. But the first thing is you choose your infrastructure. So where do I want this to sit? How do I choose my hosting? Most people choose the hosting based on price. They want the cheapest one. Like it's funny because I've seen people paying $5,000-$6,000 to build a website, but when it comes to hosting, they want the $1.99 deal. So it's like you've got a Ferrari in your garage, but you want to give it the worst fuel you can find. Of course, it will break down.
Right. And part of that bounce rate that you talk about probably is based on the hosting and how fast your site loads up as well, right?
Yeah. So if your site, Google now has been penalizing websites that are slow to load. And there's another update to the Google algorithm for ranking that's coming up in May that has people going around in circles. And that coming update is predominantly about the time it takes your homepage to load. And, you know, in our industry, people are just like moving around quickly, trying to figure out whether their sites will maintain their good ranking or lose. And they don't want their sites to lose or their client sites to lose. And as a result, many are now changing their hosting because they want a hosting plan that's better. They want somebody to help them on demand, you know, to make things faster, to enhance the website performance, because you're in a race now, you and your competition.
Yeah.
Who's going to appear first?
So then the framework you were saying is now the WordPress, or that's the...
Yeah. So naturally, people who are not techies, they don't want a website that's built, custom built from the ground up. Ground? Yeah, from the ground. Sorry. Did I say grown up?
I don't know.
Something is wrong with my mouth. From the ground up, because it's harder for them to change the content. So if they don't understand or they don't know that specific coding language, like HTML and cascading style sheets, they wouldn't be able to handle a customized website build, you know, by hand, right? Mm-hmm. So the next thing is they want some kind of a content management tool. Now, all the famous page builders have their own content management tools, including WordPress. WordPress is very versatile because it was created originally for blogging. In the beginning of WordPress, it wasn't about building business websites, although right now it powers somewhere around 38% of all websites in the world. But it was created as a blogging tool.
Another reason to get back to blogging.
Yeah. And it does that job and it does it well. It distributes your posts like, you know, it pings different distribution points. So you write your post, and if you check in a few months' time, it's not that fast, but in a few months' time, you'll see your post being kind of like anchored in different places. It will appear, you know, on like different content aggregation networks.
And then the third part you were saying is the design. So this is where you now come in and make it pretty, right?
Yeah. So my motto is make it work, then make it pretty, not the other way around. So if you hire an interior designer before you've done your, you know, foundation and framework, down the line, you're going to have some problems. You're going to end up with a great looking website that's mesmerizing, but doesn't give you any return on investment. So there's always a balance to create. The website's job is actually to be used as a business tool. It's not something you have because you want to wow your visitors, unless you're an artist. That would be different then. But I mean, let's say, I don't know, you have a... I don't know, some kind of a brick and mortar business. Like you have a boutique shop that sells clothes, right? Mm-hmm. So people will be coming to your website either to buy if you're selling them online, or to learn a little bit more about what you do, how you do it differently, what makes the clothes that you sell like special to them, who are you addressing, what's your market like, if they can partner with you, you know what I mean? Like they're researching you. Mm-hmm. So no one really cares how beautiful your website is. And by that, I don't mean that the website has to be ugly. I mean, look at almost every WordPress website looks good, no matter who built it. But what I'm saying is, like, you got to plan in advance. There's a question that I always ask people. If they fail to answer, we can't work together. The question is, why do you want to have a website? If you tell me the word presence, I'm not going to talk to you again.
What's the right answer?
There's no right answer. That's why you need to think about it. You gotta think about, what do I want to do with this? Like, am I using it as a customer service tool? For example, if people want to ask a question, they need a place to ask that question. And you're not going to like advertise your email all over the place because you'll get spammed, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you want to build like a little form on your website to direct people so that they can ask the question. For you, for example, as a coach, you want them to book a free session, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that this is where they'll go to book a free session. Like, if it's not on your website, there's no other way. How are you going to get them to book? They call you, right? And then you have all this ping pong going. Oh, is next Tuesday? No, I'm not available. What about Wednesday? Oh, no, I'm not available. Like, are you? It's easier. Here's the link. Choose the time that you like. Finish.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I heard about Amazon. I was listening to something the other day, and they were saying that Amazon has upped their game to the point where it's like one-click buy. Like, you have to take the obstacles out of the way for people. You have to make it so easy that they almost don't have to think about it.
Exactly. And it's like, there's more than one benefit that you can get from a working website. It's beyond things, but beyond like the dreams that you have. You probably think, I'm just going to have a website so that when people research me, they can get to learn a little bit more. Soon enough, you'll find that you can get your bookings through the website. You can sell stuff on your website. You can support maybe your favorite charity through your website. You can have guests, writers to come and blog on your website. There's so many options that you can do. I'm not saying do them all. I'm just saying you got to think about it before building the website, not build something that looks great and now what am I going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
So build it with the end goal in mind. And this way, from the beginning, if I know when I'm building a website that this website is going to have e-commerce, then in my infrastructure, I'll make sure that the hosting is strong enough to support e-commerce. And I have WooCommerce, for example, installed on top of WordPress so that when you need it, it's there for you. And I know that we're going to be looking at payment options. So I'll give you from the beginning, you know, do you want to use Stripe? Do you want to use Square? Do you want to use PayPal? Like, what do you want to use, right? So from mm-hmm. the beginning, we think about it, we brainstorm it, and we know we have the right infrastructure. You can't build a building that's four stories and then 10 years later, oh, I want to make it 10 stories. Your foundation is not going to support that. And that's why, you know, speak to somebody before you make the mistake. Everybody, including myself, we have free consultation calls. Use us. You don't have to do business with us. Just use the call, learn a little bit more, and go ahead and get your quotations from every corner of the world, or decide to build it on your own if you know how many hours you're going to spend on it, and just move ahead. But like, use somebody's expertise, you know, pick up somebody's brains before you make the mistake that's going to cost you more.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to have a chat with you and learn more about what you can do for them, for helping them, you know, build their website from the ground up, or even now come in and fix some problems that they, you know, should have thought about in the first place, humantalentstech.ca, is that the best way to find them?
There is no tech in the domain name. Yeah, it's just humantalents.ca.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Okay, so another last question that I have for you before I let you go. I have to ask everybody, all my guests, if you could give one piece of advice to somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level, what would you suggest?
I think we've probably covered it. Start with your website, then branch out to social media, not right. The other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm realizing through our conversation just how silly it almost is. Like, we're doing it backwards, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get sucked into social media first. And for many people, it's working. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like, I know many people who sell crafts and stuff like that. And Instagram is their main marketing tool. They post the images, people click, they come to the website or somewhere and they buy. And most of them are on something called Etsy. Funny name, mm-hmm. but works for people. And it's working this way. But the thing is, the majority of those people do not even have a traditional website. Like, they've got something on Etsy that has the products that you can buy and how you pay, and they're marketing on Instagram. Now, if for any reason Instagram bans you, delays you, you forgot your password and you couldn't recover it, or you got hacked, God forbids, you lost your marketing arm, right? And then if you have an issue with Etsy, whatever the issue is that will take a day or two to solve, you lost your business. Why do this to yourself? Build your stuff, build your business somewhere that you own. Like, you're not going to go and, in real life, I always say these networks are like Airbnb. You can use it. It works. When you go to an Airbnb, you're staying somewhere nice, clean, comfortable, right? But you can't change anything. You can't go to the Airbnb owner, to the landlord, and say like, hey, your internet service sucks. Can I get my own? it's an Airbnb. You use it as is. That's it. It's a take it or leave it. But if you've built your own house, you're not going to build your house on the land that you don't own either, right?
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. And then email too. I was told that email marketing is actually a better way too, because same thing is, you own that, right? Nobody can take that away from you either.
And most of the people who are successful online have mailing lists. Believe me, when I say email is extremely important, even though it's not sexy. It's not, nobody thinks email anymore. Everyone thinks social media. But even the most successful people we follow on social media, think about it, we buy their courses or we buy their stuff because you received an email that gave you the information. You've seen it on social media, but most probably you didn't take the action then until you received the email with the coupon or whatever.
Yep, you're right. Most of the things that I've bought through an email.
Yeah, so it works. Mm-hmm. And people still, like, we hate spam. And sometimes you have, like, I don't know, did you count how many unread messages are in your inbox?
No, I didn't. I didn't even want to think about it.
Looking at it right now, 16,677.
What?
Mine.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, but if it looks important or interesting, I'll open it. Mm-hmm. So the 16,000, probably there's about 1,000 that's important that I failed to see, but the rest is probably just, marketing stuff. Not necessarily spam, but, marketing stuff. But I don't unsubscribe because maybe one day. So it does work, like having a proper newsletter or a good mailing list. And don't spam them. Don't send them something every day. I didn't want to go and have a newsletter. Now I do, and I only send once a month. But for me, again, it all comes to the planning. My goal from the newsletter is to remind people of me. It's not to sell something or keep pushing somewhere, right? So for me, once a month is more than enough. I don't want to be like too pushy or too salesy or whatever. And I usually give some information, sometimes even about the industry. Like my last newsletter, I was talking about the big hack that happened in the United States, whereby the company that was supposed to be protecting government department from being hacked, that company itself got hacked.
What? What?
Yeah, so that was a big story in the news. So I just talked about it a little bit and put a link there. If you click, you go and read the whole article.
Right.
That gives, and then right down there, I have a hosting service. It's pretty new. I'm not selling it to the public. It's usually, if I build a website for somebody, I'll also host it for them so that I'm in control of all the elements. I can make it as fast as it can be. We control all the security, all the performance. So for them, they don't get to worry about anything. So at the bottom of that, I talked a little bit about the importance of hosting and put a link. So if people want to check our hosting services out, they can. So it's not like a hard, push car salesman approach. Sorry, car salesman. I like some of you.
The used car salesman. How's
that? Yeah, it's the used car salesman.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Amr, so glad you came on. Like I said, like I really, you really made me think about utilizing my website better. And I'm going to go and I'm going to take a look at it. I'm going to check and see how long it takes to load. And I'm going to, you know, try to look at it from a consumer's point of view, like pretend it's not mine. Like, would I read more? Would I move around or would I bounce? Right. So, you know,
try
I think that's
buy something from you as well. Like, see if you have a downloadable, use a different email address and join in and see what happens. Are you getting a confirmation email or not?
Mm-hmm.
Is everything working as intended?
Yeah, no, I think that's probably going to be what I do tomorrow night when I get home. I'm going to actually get on my website and play around and just see how user-friendly it is and whether it actually does what I want it to do. So
if I'm to leave people with a departing wisdom, your website is a living creature. It's not a creature as in like, you know... like an animal,
the monster
or something.
Under your bed.
Your website is the monster. But what I mean by that is that you should always like. I like your approach, Jessica, because you say, "Okay, I'm going to check that tomorrow. I'm going to do this today. I've done that. Next week, I'm going to do this." It's never a set it and forget it. It's a business tool. So in order to succeed, you got to use it. Right? If it's a tool that has been built for you and you paid somebody, and then it's there and it's launched and it's left alone, it's not going to be successful because you're not spending time using it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you could probably even ask people to do that for you. People love to help. If you were to just pick five people and just say, could you do me a favor? Go to this website and just tell me, answer these questions for me.
Yeah.
You know, how long did you stick around? Would you, you know, ask for more information? Would you sign up to this person's email list, you know, and just maybe put together a quick list
of
questions?
What? I don't know if you have the time. I'm not going to take a long time, but somebody told me that my website was not opening on Safari browser. I use Windows, right? I don't have a MacBook. My wife does. So I checked it and they were right. Like you, so even for me, with all the experience and with everything that I did, the problem was that when I tested it, I have a software that tests the website in every browser in the world and everything looked rosy. But when I actually tested it as a user, so the software tells me it's loading okay on Safari and it's showing me the photo and it looks like perfect. But when I actually use my wife's MacBook, it took forever to load on Safari. Probably it took about 25 seconds. And
that's too long.
Bingo is forever. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't stick around. I'd be gone.
A few seconds, like maybe between 2 and maybe 4 or 5 seconds at most. And then after this, people lose interest.
Mm-hmm. Not worth it.
And I checked it and I fixed it at the end, but I wasn't aware. If this person didn't tell me, I would still have no clue. And when I went to my Google Analytics, 22% of my website visitors use Safari.
Ooh, so that's so
imagine
a big
like,
chunk.
Yeah, imagine how bad I was looking just because the testing software wasn't built good enough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to blame those guys now because how else would I know? I use your software to test. It tells me that it's a pass, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and that's not good. You know, the internet guy, you got to have a good website, right?
Yeah, but now I know. Yep. What was the cause after I fixed it? And when I'm building websites now, I build this little fix into every site because now I know.
Yeah. See, you can't fix something if you don't know about it, right? So,
yeah.
I'm definitely going to send out a few tests and get people to check into it for me.
Let them break it for you. Yep.
Yes, exactly. Awesome. Okay. Thank you again so much for coming on and sharing all of this really great information. And I hope that people, you know, really do the work and figure out, you know, is your website working for you or not? Because otherwise there's no point, right? So
yeah. And you use the free, you know, use the free conversation, 30 minutes. We can have a quick chat and then you can go on and do it on your own. You don't need me after.
Perfect. No, that's great. I know that I enjoyed it when you sort of looked over my shoulder at my website and you gave me a little bit of advice. So, you know, reach out to somebody who has that experience, and I've had a chance to get to know you recently and I recommend you. So, you know.
Thank you, Jessica.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the great podcast. Keep going.
Thank you. Oh, trust me, I will. Just try to stop me.
Looking out for the blog next.
Oh, yes, totally. That's next for sure.
Have a great night.
Awesome. Thank you. You too.
And that's another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs.